When you hear a show tune from the Great White Way, does a shiver run through ya? Well, we're giving them to ya. Sing hallelujah and shout hooray. Come on along and listen to Broadway to Main Street, USA.
Welcome to Broadway to Main Street. I'm your host, Larry Maslon, and as they say in The Most Happy Fella, I'm happy to make your acquaintance. You've got the best seat in the house for the greatest songs of all time. So, let's raise the curtain on a new era and a brand new show.
Another opening, another show in Philly, Boston, or Baltimore. A chance for stage folks to say hello. Another opening of another show. Another job that you hoped at last will make your future forget your past. Another pain where the ulcers grow. Another opening of another show. 4 weeks you rehearse and rehearse. 3 weeks and it couldn't be worse. 1 week will it ever be right? Then out of the hat is that big first night. The overture is about to start. You cross your fingers and hold your heart. It's curtain time and away we go. Another opening of another show.
Another opening, another show. In Philly, Boston, or Baltimore. A chance for stage folks to say hello. Another opening of another show. Another job that you hope at last will make your future forget your past. Another pain where the ulcers grow. Another opening of another show. 4 weeks you'll rehearse and rehearse. 3 weeks and it couldn't be worse. But it will never be right. Then out of the hat is that big first night. The overture is about to start. You cross your fingers and hold your heart. It's turn from time and away we go. Another opening.
Another show indeed. This is Broadway to Main Street, and that, of course, was the opening to Cole Porter's great Kiss Me, Kate. I'm thrilled to be here on Peconic Public Broadcasting with a new show every week dedicated to the greatest songs of the Broadway stage. We're going to build on the wonderful tradition of the American Musical Theater program that aired in the spot every Sunday for years. But we're going to take the world of the Broadway musical in a new direction, put a new spin on it, if you will. For those of you who still fondly remember your cast album LPs. Every song we play will have come originally from the Broadway stage, but in addition to the stars who made the songs famous, we'll also hear from the great artists of film, pop music, jazz, and the cabaret scene, and discover some of their majestic interpretations of this glorious music. Each week we'll celebrate a different songwriter, or score, or tie some themes together to give our listeners a sense of how vast, how entertaining, and how enlightening the American musical stage has been for over a century. I thought it might be fun to start our series by celebrating Broadway itself, that mythical landscape, that place where dreams really do come true. A million lights and a broken heart for everyone, as the corny saying goes. The New York Theater District began over a century ago, in 1904, when the city fathers ran the subway north along Broadway and made a little bend in the road for a stop at 42nd Street. They called it Times Square, and dozens of new theaters sprung up over the next decade. It became one of the major entertainment centers in American history. Of course, we'd just be talking about real estate without someone to mythologize Broadway, and what fun would that be? The fellow who came along, of course, was a great song and dance man, George M. Cohan. He was a tremendous songwriter, and the same year that the subway stop opened, he wrote a song for a show called Little Johnny Jones. Alas, Cohan made very few recordings, but the anthem he created for the playground of his ambitious dreams endures. So for now, let's turn it over to Judy Garland to give her regards to old Broadway.
Give my regards to Broadway. Remember me, Harold Square. Tell all the gang on 42nd Street that I will soon be there. Whisper of how I'm yearning to mingle with the old-time throng. Give my regards to old Broadway and say that I'll be there, Ella. Say hello to dear old Coney Isle, if there you have to be. And when you're at the Waldorf, well, you can have a smile and you can charge it up to me. You can mention my name every place you go, as round the town you go. Wish you'd call my gal and remember I'm pal. So just get back home. Yes, you can give my regards to Broadway. Remember me to Herald Square. Tell all the folks on 42nd Street I will soon be there. Whisper of how I'm yearning to linger with the old time throng. Give my regards to old Broadway and say that I'll be there. I'll be there. I'll be there. Ella.
A great theme for Broadway. And Broadway is our theme today on our radio show. People always want to come to Broadway. They want to make themselves stars. They want to see their names in lights. Broadway is the height of all ambition. But you need somebody to help you make that happen. And one of the great producers was Florenz Ziegfeld back in the early 1900s, who had his follies from 1907 to 1932. He had a great knack for spotting talent. He brought Will Rogers, Eddie Cantor, Burt Williams, and W.C. Fields to the Broadway stage. There was one goofy young lady downtown that he spotted. She could sing a torch song with the best of them, but you should pardon the expression, she was also a funny girl. Her name, of course, was Fanny Brice, and Ziegfeld brought her to the Follies in 1910 and made her into a star. Many of you may know her a little better from the 1964 musical hit about her called Funny Girl, which Barbra Streisand sings an introductory number that's one of the great expressions, I think, of what it means to really, really, really want to see your name in lights.
Listen, I got 36 expressions, sweet as pie to tough as leather. And that's 6 expressions more than all them Barrymores put together. Instead of just kicking me, why don't they give me a lift? It must be a plot, 'cause they're scared that I got such a gift. Well, I'm miffed, 'cause I'm the greatest star. I am by far, but no one knows it. Wait, they're gonna hear a voice, a silver flute. They'll cheer each toot. Yay, she's terrific. When I expose it. Now can't you see to look at me that I'm a natural Camille. As Camille I just feel I've so much to offer. Kid, I know I'd be divine because I'm a natural coffer. Some ain't got it, not a lump. I'm a great big clump of talent. Laugh! They'll bend in half. Did you ever hear the story about the traveling salesman? 1,000 jokes. Stick around for the jokes. 1,000 faces. I reiterate, when you're gifted, then you're gifted. These are facts. I got no axe to grind. Hey, what are they blind? In all of the world so far, I'm the greatest star. Who is the pip with pizzazz? Who is all ginger and jazz? Who is as glamorous as? Who's an American beauty rose with an American beauty nose and 10 American beauty toes? Eyes on the target and wham! One shot, one gunshot and bam! Hey, Mr. Ziegfeld, here my drama. Have you guessed yet who is the best yet? If ya ain't, I'll tell ya one more time. You've been to last time in all of the world so far. I'm the greatest, greatest star.
Barbra Streisand also became one of the greatest stars of Broadway. Briefly, but we were happy to see her there when she was. So, of course, not only do actors and singers and dancers and performers want to become stars on Broadway, writers do too, particularly songwriters. And no show has captured the drive and the goal to be a Broadway songwriter, I think, better than Stephen Sondheim's and George Firth's 1981 show, Merrily We Roll Along. Certainly, if anybody would know what it's like to be a successful songwriter, it would be Stephen Sondheim. The show only ran 16 performances, but largely because of its original cast album, it found its way into the hearts of millions of listeners, and there are always attempts to bring it back to the Broadway stage. This February, the Encore series at City Center is going to bring it back the first weekend of February. It'll be great to see what they do with that show. Now, here's a song from that show that if you have the LP, you may not know, because it didn't make it onto the LP, but thankfully it did make it onto the CD. It's a story of Frank Shepherd and his pal Charlie Kringas, who've written a show called Musical Husbands. And this is the opening night when they're waiting to see whether or not it's going to be a hit. You're going to hear Jim Walton and Lonnie Price and the eternally middle-aged Jason Alexander singing about whether or not their show is going to be a hit.
Listen to that. Did you listen to that? What that means, let me tell you what that means. Wait, no, anyone who even thinks it, don't say it, jinx it.
Listen to that. Will you listen to that? Does that make you feel proud? Well, feel more than just proud. Okay, wait, I'll tempt fate and I'll state it out loud. That unless I miss my guess is sound of a hit. It's a hit, gang. I think this is it. No more writing clever little shows for those basement saloons. No more proclamations from the pros that you can't hum the tunes.
No more sneaking at an intermission to the place you wish you could afford.
More producers having you audition whenever they're bored.
And we'll say right away as you play the first chord.
Boys, that's just great. But next time, don't be so clever.
We're a hit.
You're a hit. You should quit.
No more coaching those sopranos with voices like bees.
No more secondhand pianos with six broken keys.
No more agents giving you opinions while they turn you over to their minions.
Just for these
guarantees, we should please thank the Lord.
It's a hit. It's a hit. We are in laws just spit. After all that baloney they made you go through. All that muttering that you're a phony. Cause what do you do when their faces be stony? When they see on their Sony someone handing the phony the Tony Award.
I would like to begin by thanking everyone who turned down everything I have written so I could win this.
It's a hit.
Hold it, folks, there's still the reviews left. Both the trim and the news left. Early, surly, not a good sign. Also, even if there's a chance, folks, let's not forget the advance, folks. Not a lot of cash, folks.
Also, even if it's a smash, folks, doesn't that mean we sell out?
Well, I hope we sell out.
What I mean is sell out. Well, you know, success is like failure. It's how you perceive it. It's what you do with it, not how you achieve it. And I can't believe it's a hit. It's a hit. It's a hit. It's a hit.
Listen to that. Will you listen to that? Tell me, is that a noise or is that a noise? That is a noise we've been waiting the whole of our lives to hear.
Listen to that.
That's the sound of a hit. You say this.
theater and we're really in it, but just on the edge.
If your spirits ever need improving, you can drop in any night for free.
But the thing is positively moving.
You caught up for me is we're still good friends. Nothing can kill good friends where there's a will. Good friends don't need success to survive.
And us, good friends, what's been discussed? Good friends, we got a show like
done. This is Larry Maslon welcoming all you Broadway babies to Broadway to Main Street here on WPPB 88.3 FM Conic Public Broadcasting. That was Ethel Chatte, who played Hattie Walker in the original production of Follies in 1970. Ethel Chatte was not only in the original production of Stephen Sondheim's Follies, but she was in the original Follies back in the 20s and 30s. She actually appears in the film version of Eddie Cantor's Whoopi, if you want to take a look at her. So that song is sung by a lot of people. It was Sondheim's anthem to Broadway. Sometimes you hear it sung by actual Broadway babies, little kids. And more often, and I think in a better way, it can be sung by hardened veterans of the Broadway stage, like Elaine Stritch. Ethel Chatte's version you just heard actually isn't from the cast album. It's from a live rendition from a great concert called Sondheim, a Musical Tribute in 1973, which did a lot to enhance his reputation in the 1970s. You hear a little laugh there where Ethel walks over and says, "Hey, Mr. Producer," from the audience. That laugh is because she actually walked over to Harold Prince, who was not only the producer of the original Follies, but the director as well. Of all the people who want to succeed on Broadway, what about producers? Well, you can't really have a show on Broadway without them, can you? Broadway's had many great producers. Hal Prince, of course. Florent Ziegfeld, who we talked about. The great, abominable showman David Merrick. Cameron McIntosh, who did a lot of Andrew Lloyd Webber's musicals to great success in the 1980s. It's a lot of hard work to be a producer. You have to raise money, get up early, herd over all sorts of talent. Who would want to grow up and be a producer? Well, of course, two guys did in Mel Brooks' unforgettable 2001 musical, The Producers. One was Max Bialystock. The other was a timid accountant named Leo Bloom, who had one of the strangest dreams in Broadway history.
Unhappy, unhappy, very, very unhappy, 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 very, 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 very unhappy.
Oh, I debit all the morning, and I credit all the evening, until them letters be right.
Until them letters be right.
I spend my life accounting with figures and such.
Unhappy.
To what is my life amounting? It figures not much.
Unhappy.
I have a secret desire hiding deep in my soul. It sets my heart afire to see me in this role. Producer with a hit show on Broadway. I wanna be a producer, lunch at Sardi's every day. I wanna be a producer, sport a top hat and a cane. I wanna be a producer and drive those chorus girls insane.
Producer with a great big casting couch.
greatest, grandest, and most fabulous producer in the world.
He wants to be a producer. He wants to die with a gadget and a nuke.
I just gotta be a producer. Drink champagne until I puke.
Drink champagne till he pukes.
I wanna be a producer. Show the world just what I got. I'm gonna put on shows that will enthrall 'em. Read my name in a Winchell's column. I wanna be a producer. Cause it's everything. I'm not
unhappy, unhappy. So unhappy. Very, 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 very sad.
I wanna be a producer.
Hold everything. What am I doing here? Mr. Bialystok was right. There is a lot more to me than there is to me. Stop the world. I want to get on.
Move! Where do you think you're going?
Mr. Marks, I've got news for you. I quit! Here's my visor, my Dixon Ticonderoga number 2 pencil, and my big finish.
I'm gonna be a producer. Sound the horn and beat the drum. I'm gonna be a producer. Look out, Broadway, here I come.
Obviously, Broadway is a place of bright lights and fame and celebrity, but can also be a lonely place. The trials and tribulations of putting a Broadway musical together, whether you're a performer or a producer or director, composer, lyricist, songwriter, can be pretty draining. And amid all the glamour and all the glory, there are some dark moments. Many dark moments were experienced by one of my favorite lyricists, Lorenz Hart, who did great, great musicals with Richard Rodgers, of course, in the 20s, 30s, and the beginning of the 40s. And he understood that kind of lonely moment when the curtain came up, where you really couldn't do much about the show. It was out of your hands. It was over to the audience and the critics. And Larry Hart himself wasn't much in terms of hanging around at the theater. Sometimes he went to bars afterwards or walked the streets, just sort of waited with a kind of anxiety to see what the morning's reviews would bring. His best song on this topic was written with Rodgers, of course, for a musical called On Your Toes, 1936, called Quiet Night. But I don't really have a great version of it to play for you. But he wrote another song for a movie in 1935, which sums up the sort of loneliness, the existential despair of the theater. And it's performed here by Mary Clear Heron, one of our very great cabaret artists, who unfortunately we lost this year. And she's so good with Larry Hart. And I just think beautifully with the song called My Friend the Night, she captures the other side of the Broadway coin.
Noisy parties of drunken buffoons, jazz band screeching detestable tunes, odor of cigarettes, stench of cigars. That's why I want to walk under the stars. Hollow laughter and scrambled affairs, lifted eyebrows and gossip and stares, parlors and people and shackles and bars. That's why I want to walk under the stars. My friend, the night looks down on me with gentle eyes of the stars. My friend, the night, his touch is hands light on me. His fingers are the summer breeze in its flight. My friend, the night, when he lifts his voice in boisterous commotion, he blows a gale of laughter in my ear. He slaps me with the surf.
That was Mary Clear Heron with the great unsung classic by Rodgers and Hart. I'm Larry Maslon. I want to welcome you again to the premiere episode of Broadway to Main Street, the new show about American theater music here on WPPB 88.3 FM. You can reach us at our website, PeconicPublicBroadcasting.org, and we also have our own Facebook page for this new show, Broadway to Main Street. Contact us, tell us what you think, give us your enthusiasms, give us your criticisms, and it's also a place to pledge your support for this wonderful station and this kind of unique music and this unique programming that we're bringing to you. So if you're listening to the show, you're obviously a Broadway fan, so let's get a little jolt of Broadway adrenaline, courtesy of John Kander and Fred Ebb from a 1971 show called 70 Girls, 70.
How many times have you heard some performers say, gee, but it's great to be back here on old Broadway? That's such a worn and a boring cliche. Well, steel yourself, you're just about to hear it again.
How many times has the orchestra struck the chords, marking the entrance of one of those tying broads, saying she's thrilled to be back on the boards?
Well, settle back and sit it out. The lyrics say beyond a doubt that you poor kids are just about to hear it again. Broadway, by street, that touch on wood, or could you die, street? Broadway. I know your charms, so naturally your baby girl came back to your arms. So it's cold out. Show me a sign that says we're sold out. And see me licking my heels to show the gang how warm it feels back here on my beat. Broadway, my
Broadway,
street.
My street. That suicide are riding high street. Broadway, I'm in a daze. That's every night at 7 plus the 2 matinees. My Omeo, tell me we're Sappho at the B.O. And see me mopping my hands like I had one wonderful prize back here on my beat. Broadway, my street.
I telephoned my cronies in the lobby of the Lambs that I'd be back on Broadway.
Go polish off the Tonys and compose the telegrams because I'm back on Broadway.
So let me hear the cymbal crash and let me hear the woodwind play.
And let me know that I'm a smash because Saudi sees me right away.
And let me hear my agent brag there's not a ticket in the rack.
And beat the drum
and wave the flag because hallelujah,
I'm back on.
Great Broadway theme for today's Broadway-themed show. Broadway and the radio have been a great mixture since the 1920s, and of course the greatest radio broadcaster of all time when it came to Broadway was Walter Winchell. And like George M. Cohan, Walter Winchell made Broadway into a legend, and he spun many interesting tales and ideas and thoughts that made Broadway so attractive to people who were hundreds, thousands of miles away from the Great White Way. Here's something he said once in a broadcast back in 1927. Song, laughter, wine, beauty, color, and life. Always life. These are the good things of Broadway. The bitterness, the failures, the tragedies. These are for the side streets into which are crowded those whose steps have grown heavy in the swift dance. Broadway is the light that never grows dim. The fire that never burns low, the heart that always palpitates. So he was a pretty good one for the corny line about Broadway, but it certainly stuck. And in today's show, we're going over some people who want to make it big on Broadway, stars, songwriters, producers. And one show featured a gossip columnist rather like Walter Winchell. It's one of my favorite shows, 1966. It was called A Bird, It's a Plane, It's Superman. That's right. Musical version of Superman decades before the Spider-Man musical, and its lead character was actually a gossip columnist named Max Mencken, who was terribly jealous of Superman because he always got better press and better girls. This is not from the original cast album. It's actually from a demo recording performed by the show's composers, Charles Strauss and Lee Adams, in which Max Mencken delivers his morning column. And it's a wonderful spoof of Walter Winchell, of course, but also the kind of megalomania of Broadway, which is also part of its charm. So here's dot, dot, dot from It's a Bird, It's a Plane, It's Superman.
Don't interrupt. First paragraph. The Midtown scene, as seen by Max.
Arlene Dahl, looking dollicious, drawing wolf whistles as she hops in a cab. New discotheque, the talk of Metropolis, decorated to look like a chemistry lab. Teenage heartthrob, Tommy Leonetti, discovering Swiss model Lulu, Ursula Bone, the stay-up-late crowd getting the giggles when Polish playboy, Coco Chernik, appears with wife, but not his own.
Oh, Max, you can't print that.
Hell, I can't. End of paragraph. Dot, dot, dot.
I know all about the damn dots. For 2 years...
Shut up. Kudos of the week. That's COO hyphen DOUGHS.
I know.
To Joe Levine, a big chunk of glory for nabbing Tony Curtis for the Jennings Lang story. To J. Edgar Hoover, that wonderful guy. Mucho birthday congrats, Mr. FBI. Orchids to Jim Bishop, vacationing in Bermuda. Just loved his new book, The Day They Shot Buddha. And to Roberta Sherwood, a carload of cheers. Her new waxing of Granada caresses the ears.
It's a bomb.
End of paragraph. Dot, dot, dot. Washington facts from your newsboy, Max. The CIA has warned LBJ there's trouble brewing down Costa Rica way. A VIP said exclusively to me, there's 14 pinkos hiding in the SEC. A snapshot of my city. Dawn painting the pavements pink and rose, making royal purple of the panhandler's clothes, bathing the city in silky light, washing the sins out of the wicked night.
Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, dot, dot, dot.
Don't invite them to your next party. Sergio Franchi and Enzo Stuardi. From what I hear, the fly in the spaghetti is Anna Maria Alberghetti. Max knows, and don't you wish you did? 6 question marks. Which girl reporter has been torching too long for Superman? What Wall Street biggie has stolen enough to wind up in the can? Which Met opera singer found his wife with a swinger in which motel wearing only her pearls? What He-Man star hangs out in a bar where boys will be girls? What TV headliner can't do his show unless he's half shot? Which congresswoman was caught in the cloakroom smoking pot? And now Max Mencken's thought for the day. Always be careful of what you say, for if your heart is pure and your tongue speaks true, the good Lord will always watch over you. End of column. Dot, dot, dot.
That song you just heard, Dot, 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 was a huge hit when it was played for audiences in the rehearsal hall, and then when it opened in Philadelphia, it actually died and was cut from the show immediately. Another one of the tricky fates of Broadway. One of the other things about Broadway I think that makes it so appealing to people isn't just the show or the song. It's the legends. It's the stories. It's the fact that you get out of your subway station onto Times Square and you see the bright lights and you smell the salty pretzels, and you go to the theater, and you see a red velvet curtain, and maybe you see a celebrity across the way, and after the show you go out for a drink with pals. Broadway is one of those great cultural centers where the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. And the legend of Broadway, and the Broadway of legend, has never been musicalized better than by Harry Warren and Al Dubin for the movies. Here's Tony Bennett giving us the lullaby of Broadway.
Come on along and listen to the lullaby of Broadway, the hip hooray and ballyhoo, the lullaby of Broadway. The rumble of a subway train, the rattle of a taxi, the daffodils who entertain at Angelo's and Maxie's. When a Broadway baby says goodnight, it's early in the morning. Manhattan babies don't sleep tight until the dawn. Good night, baby. Good night. The milkman's on his way. Sleep tight, baby. Sleep tight. Let's call it a day. Hey, come on along. listen to the lullaby of Broadway. The Copacabana Birdland to the lullaby of Broadway. The band begins to go to town and everything gets hazy. You rock by your baby round to Ellington or Basie. When a Broadway baby says goodnight, it's early in the morning. Manhattan babies don't sleep tight until the dawn. Good night, baby. Good night. The milkman's on his way. Sleep tight.
That's not exactly from Broadway. It's from Gold Diggers of 1933, a great Warner Brothers movie. But of course, as you Broadway fans know, that music was recycled for the stage version of 42nd Street, a huge success in the 1980s, and its revival about 15 years later. Broadway would sort of lie in one spot and not move forward if it weren't for new voices, people who want to come each year, each month, each day, off the train, off the bus, to try to make it big in the greatest city of all. And in recent years, one team I think that really captures that drive and that enthusiasm of that new voice is a team called Hunter Bell and Jeff Bowen. They sort of done this generation's version of Merrily We Roll Along in a charming, intimate show called Title of Show. And here they sing about their dreams of wanting to make it on Broadway, of wanting to be unforgettable, of wanting to make an impression on the next generation of listeners. They made an impression on me, and I hope they'll make one on you, too. Here it is from Title of Show.
We can either follow our instinct or take advice from every joker. We can either be distinct or wind up merely mediocre. But not me. Not me. When we set out to write this musical, we said we'd write a show that we want to see. We knew we'd never please everyone. Remember that day at Christie's? You said to me, you said to me, I'd rather be 9 people's favorite thing than 100 people's 9th favorite thing. 9 people's favorite thing than 100 people's 9th favorite thing.
Yeah, you're right, Jeffy, let's not compromise. Let's keep making something we've never seen. A risk was taken with On the Town, and look what happened. Betty and Adolf burst onto the scene.
A shout out to Comden and Green. And when Bach and Harnick were writing Tenderloin, they were taking a risk to write a show about whores. When Kander and Ebb were working on The Rink, I'd like to think at some point John looked at Fred and said, I'd rather be 9 people's favorite thing than 100 people's 9th favorite thing. 9 people's favorite thing than 100 people's 9th favorite thing.
When you handed me the first draft of the show, I'll admit I was a little bit, what the f***? But I'm not giving up on you guys until all of us have learned to knit on the bus and truck. On the bus and truck. And who's chairs. We'll be fine with only four chairs. We'll rock hard with only four chairs.
I am 8 years old in Ohio. It is time for the annual church bazaar. There is a cake baking contest. I am going to be the big star. But I don't want to make a German chocolate, and a seven layer I'll never complete. So I show up with pride this morning with a tray of Rice Krispie treats. And they try to push them aside, say that they are too strange to compete. And sure, most of the judges award the red velvet. But one picks the Rice Krispie treats. Let our show be the Rice Krispie treat. I'd rather be nine people's favorite thing than 100 people's ninth favorite thing. Nine people's favorite thing than 100 people's ninth favorite thing. Those nine people will tell nine people, then we'll have 18 people loving the show. Then 18 people could grow into 525,600 people, all loving our show.
And maybe someday, if we're lucky enough, we'll all be in a studio recording the show. And 10 years from now, when we play the cast album, this track on the CD will remind us why we'd rather be
nine people's favorite thing.
So the decision's made and we're on our way, and we may lose or maybe we might be nine people's favorite thing.
Nine people's favorite when we open to night. Tonight.
Well, if Broadway music is one of your favorite things, I hope you enjoyed this afternoon's broadcast, our initial broadcast of Broadway to Main Street, here on WPPB 88.3 FM, the Peconic Public Broadcasting System. If you like the show, if you have thoughts about it, you can get in touch with us at peconicpublicbroadcasting.org and let us know your thoughts. We'll be here week after week, and I'm only sorry that we only have an hour to spare. Title of show gave a shout-out to Comden and Green, and Comden and Green wrote one of my favorite songs from one of my favorite shows, On the Town. So here's Tony Bennett, who'll take us out. And again, I wish we had more time, but we'll have to catch up some other time. This is Larry Maslon, thanking you for tuning in to Broadway to Main Street.
Where has the time all gone to? Haven't done half the things we want to. Oh, we'll catch up some other time. This day was just a token, too many words are still unspoken. Oh, we'll catch up some other time. Just when the fun is starting, comes the time for partying. But let's be glad for what we've had and what's to come. there's so much more embracing still to be done, but time is racing. Oh, well, we'll catch up some other time.